when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, all you precious, precious Blood River Radio people out there, or Blood River Radio family, and even just the people that don't like us. I'm glad you're here listening, because there's no such thing as bad publicity. But even anyway, where are we? We are listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And just in case you didn't know, if you just woke up, it is October the 8th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2022. We always say on this show, we always start out, you know, we say that there is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. And that's true. That's scriptural, people. It's just not Eddie talking about scriptural. But while we were yet sinners, while we were yet filthy, rotten sinners, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the sin price so that you and I might have a free gift. All we have to do is accept that free gift. And people, you also know the drill. Before we do anything on the show, we always have a little prayer and always shoot from the hip, so to speak. It's nothing rehearsed or anything. So it's if you're looking for a real pretty prayer, you may have to look elsewhere. But if you will, people, just bow your heads. But we'll say a quick prayer here. Almighty Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of the entire universe, like we always say here every Saturday, you, oh God, Almighty God, you spoke the entire universe. It's known what's known of it, and you just spoke it into being, that, and you said it, and it came, and it appeared, it just materialized, and you wouldn't even have to speak it. You could just think it, and it would happen that way. But oh Lord, my prayer here, I'm kind of asking the same thing we've been asking you recently. Lord, our people, our white people here on earth, especially white men, we are under the most severe attack in the history of mankind. Every race in the world literally hate white people. And you don't take my word for it. You can just look at the newspapers, look that's not biased, look at the FBI statistics, look at the national violent crime incidents that came from, I can't read my glasses on, but you can pull these statistics up. And God, you know all this, but Lord, like I say, we are the most hated race on earth. It's stepping up. And God, if you don't come down and help us, if you don't give us strength and power to fight this and resist it, we will be wiped out. But I can tell you one thing, oh God, us here on Blood River Radio, we will never, ever, ever quit. We will never stop fighting. In fact, our fight has just started, just beginning. Anyway, Lord, if you will, please bless Blood River Radio. Bless Liberty News Radio. All of our staff, all of our family with Liberty News, including Cam and his family, and bless us here, Lord. Bless our guests coming on tonight, Lord, and give us the strength, give us the wisdom to know who to fight, how to fight, and give us the strength and the courage to never back away. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, tonight we have a great show. We've had guests on tonight. The first time we've had guests in a long time. We've been running. We have a pretty big crew, as you well know, a great crew of hosts, co-host, and they're off all tonight because we have four guests coming out tonight, two first hour, two second hour. But before I go to the outline, I've got to tell you our donors this week. We have one donor this week. We had a bunch of them last week. Had to read last week. It took a long time, but that's a labor of love. Our donor, Dennis and Pam of Virginia. They're like clockwork. They're the sweetest, nicest people you've ever seen. I communicated with them just this morning by email. I had to communicate by email, and this is another announcement. My phone, it's completely destroyed. I took it to the shop. it's locked up. That is short. I cannot unlock it because in order to get all your numbers, and this is the reason I'm telling you this is the purpose. The only way you can get your numbers out of one of these iPhones, you have to open it. It's been encrypted, the guy told me. And you have to have put your password in to open your phone to download your number. So people, what I'm trying to tell you is I'm missing a lot of the numbers from the people I communicate with. For instance, Jay-Z from AZ. If you will, send me your numbers at eddie@bloodriverradio.com. I love communicating with you people. Also, our good buddy Jim in Washington State. I'm missing his number. I got the Adams number this morning. But if you will, people, especially people I communicate with often, please send me your telephone numbers at eddie@bloodriverradio.com. It's very secure. They tell me we got this thing called Proton, whatever the hell that is, but you don't have to worry about it being hacked, in other words. And just the last announcement before I give the outline for the night show. Next week, we'll start our Blood River Radio. I'm going to call it our defensive, counter-offensive operation. It's going to last several weeks. We're having the guy who's going to be the heart and soul of this class is going to be Michael Tubbs. Michael Tubbs has spent time in the Gulag, federal penitentiary. He survived that. He's a former Army Special Forces. He's fought different theaters of the world. The guy is he's a bad dude. He saved our bacon up there at Charlottesville back in 2017. He really did, but he's a good guy. He was locked up. Anytime you go to the federal penitentiary, that's pretty much a badge of courage, you know. But anyway, he's going to come on. He's going to lead it, but we're going to have everything you can think of. I'm not going to take up much more time because we got to get these guests on. And I'm so glad they can come on. And our first guest tonight for hour one is going to be he's brand new. His name is John Friend. I know he writes for the American Free Press, the Barnes Review. I'm going to let him expand further upon that in just a second. We also have a wonderful fellow who's been on our show, I think, twice. His name is Lee Wilson. Lee Wilson has been the detective for the McMichaels, Travis and Greg, and Roddy and William Roddy Bryan, that horrible travesty of miscarriage of justice in Georgia where those three men were locked up. We've heard us talk about that 100 times. We won't go into that too much more because I want to until we get our guests on. And we also, in the second hour, people, we're going to have Paul Framone. He had been on a long time. We're going to have Jason Robb on, the attorney, Jason Robb. They're going to talk about the clergy plan and how it's unfolding heavy in Canada. Anyway, people, that's it for the announcements tonight. So I want to introduce, I guess since he's new, we'll ask him to introduce himself first. How are you doing tonight, John?
Hey, Eddie, thank you very much for inviting me on your program. It's quite an honor. And I tip my hat. I'm glad to hear the prayer. I'm glad that's a good way to start the program. And, you know, I totally agree and sympathize with everything you had to say there at the very beginning.
So, thank you
very much. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. As you mentioned, I'm a regular reporter for American Free Press, which is America's last real newspaper. The website is AmericanFreePress.net. I'm not sure how familiar listeners are with the newspaper, but it's been around since 2001. It is basically the successor to the former Spotlight newspaper. And I've been writing for the newspaper since 2013, so almost 10 years now. And I've covered a lot of controversial topics over the years, including the McMichaels case, which is one of the most outrageous situations I've encountered. And I want to tip my hat to Buddy Kirkland, who is a reader and a subscriber to American Free Press. He originally kind of put me in touch with not only you, but also with Mr. Lee Wilson, and provided a lot of very important background details on this case and kind of helped big time with the article. So I just wanted to mention that. I've been with the newspaper for almost 10 years now. I also contribute to the Barnes Review, which is a bi-monthly revisionist history magazine that focuses on all aspects of history, including ancient history. The most recent issue that was just published was our 28th anniversary edition, and it's this expanded version. Usually the magazine is about 80 pages, and this one I think was well over 100. I think like 140, if I'm not mistaken. So it's pretty much like a mini book, and it's a really, really interesting magazine. We cover a lot of revisionist history relating to World War II and the Civil War and American history, and just Western history in general. So it's a great publication, and their website is barnesreview.org. And I would just encourage everybody to consider subscribing to both publications if they're not already. But yeah, that's a little bit about myself. I also maintain my own personal website called The Realist Report. That's therealistreport.com. And you can find contact details there and all of my blog posts and articles and all the radio programs that I participate in as well.
Well, that's a great, I tell you what, you wear a lot of hats, John, I'm not kidding. The Barnes Review is a great paper. I mean, excuse me, great magazine. I get it. I get that. I'd like to get the American Free Press, and I guarantee you I would be getting that. Our second guest, we're almost about to go to a break, but he's going to be on tonight. We're going to be really doing the Mac Michaels case big time. If we have time, we'll do some other things. But we have Mr. Lee Wilson, a man I really respect. He's been out a great deal of money. He's been doing pro bono of all the detectives in the state of Georgia, people. The defense team for the Mac Michaels, they could have picked any detective in the state of Georgia or that area. I guess you call it the bi-state area down there. But they picked Mr. Lee Wilson, and we're going to go back to him. We're going to get him to introduce himself as soon as we come back from this first commercial break. So, people, if you will, hold on to your hats. We'll be right back after this first break.
War for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family. Please, I'm not going to take up just a few seconds because these are great. Great guests we have on tonight. We're really, really fortunate. God smiled on us. We get these fellows back in here. But I'd like to second what John Friend said about Mr. Buddy Kirkland. Mr. Buddy's always been one of our biggest supporters. And he's a big supporter of white people everywhere, of mankind. He's in his 90s now, has the brain of an 18-year-old. He's smart. He's good. He has really suffered because of the Mac Michaels case. He's lost sleep over it. But anyway, that being said, Everything John said about Mr. Buddy is true. Now, we're going to bring Mr. Lee Wilson back on. He is the listening people. You need to show Mr. Lee Wilson some respect. He has been out buku and Swansea money for this. He's done this on his own dime, pro bono, working with the Mac Michaels from day one, I think going all the way back to 2020. So anyway, if you will, Mr. Lee Wilson, take it off. Tell us about anything you want to tell us about yourself, and then we'll open up. We'll start talking about the Mac Michaels case and how they're doing anything, because I know you're more up to date what's going on than I am. So go ahead, Mr. Lee.
Okay, thank you, Eddie. Thank you for having me on the program, and I do want to shout out to Mr. Buddy. He has steadfastly supported this effort on behalf of McMichaels, made a very generous donation to our efforts to raise money to continue paying off the out-of-pocket expenses from the trial and to hopefully get enough through the appeals process. So I do want to say wholeheartedly from Michaels and myself, thank you. I am a private investigator based out of South Georgia, and I told you last time, I got called, a few days after the McMichaels got arrested by one of the four attorneys that represented Travis and Greg throughout the trial, and I didn't know anything about the case at the time because I don't pay attention to mainstream media. I don't see whether there's any truth in any of it, and it's so biased. Far different than the days when I delivered newspapers back in the 60s and the 70s. But I asked if I'd look at it and join in, and I did. And the thing that immediately hit me after factually about this case is this would have been Lee Wilson had they, knowing what they knew and it occurred in my neighborhood, I'd have done everything they did. The video that got released was released with an utterly false narrative that remains today. And it's one of the passions that I've got about this case is it's totally false how these men were convicted and under the circumstances they were convicted. They're presently both in, and as well as Roddy Bryant, they're presently in Jackson, Georgia, at the Georgia Diagnostic and Classification Center, awaiting an assignment to a prison in Georgia. After being convicted on just evidence that is not truthful and based on a trial that far from fair and just. These men were entered that trial as guilty men without the benefit of innocent until proven guilty, which, you know, we're supposed to be closed with before we face a judge and a jury. I don't see that anymore. It's just far from what I believe the justice system was during my 25 years as a police detective. So I've had an awakening when it comes to the judicial system throughout Georgia and beyond that. But thank you, Eddie, for having me, and I'll open to questions or whatever we need to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, since I've got you guest on, I don't like to hog the limelight. Like I said earlier, I don't know if John heard me. I like to kind of play the part of the moderator and concierge, whatever you call it. So yeah, I was going to let Mr. John answer the question. I like to answer my questions when we come back after the break. So, John, my young friend, go ahead and open up with the questions, any that you have, and any that your paper may have. So go ahead, John.
Yeah, no, you know, the thing is, I mean, I've been following this case, I guess, from the beginning, not in any great detail. And it sort of slipped my mind. I mean, cases like this seem to be happening more and more in this totally rigged system we live under now. But when I came back and I really kind of did a deep dive and really read really as much as I could about the case. And there's a great website, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Wilson, you're behind this website, or you're involved with it, and that's McMichaelTrial.com.
That's correct.
I believe you're affiliated with it. Yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, I went on the website, I read as much as I could, and it's even worse than you could have ever imagined how unjust this case was, and how really I think that one of the key aspects of understanding this is the role that the media plays. And basically persecuting these men. This was a totally politically motivated, racially motivated persecution of both the McMichaels and Roddy Bryant, in my opinion. And the narrative of this event could easily have been that a twice convicted violent felon with the history of mental illness was killed following a struggle over a legally carried shotgun. And I mean, that's basically what happened. And yet that's not at all the way it was presented in the mass media. So these men were tried essentially in the media, tried in the court of public opinion, entered the courtroom guilty essentially in the eyes of the public and in the eyes of the jurors and the judge. And it's just an outrageous, you know, travesty of justice that is frankly pretty depressing to see. I mean, it's just really outrageous. And also, I think another aspect of this is this all really kind of unfolded at the height of the whole BLM craze in the summer of 2020 with the death of career criminal and drug addict George Floyd. So there was a lot going on when all of this happened, and I think the media really played a key role in setting up these men for this totally unjust prosecution. Mr. Wilson, I'm curious, what do you think about that? Like, what role do you think the media played in all of this?
The narrative that went out with that video, we were never able to turn it around. If you go to the website, and you're correct, it's mcmicheltrial.com, there's a topic called the narratives. And I think you pretty much read it, and this is just, there was three potential narratives. Any one of them could have been true. And the one you just talked about, twice convicted felon with a history of mental illness killed following a struggle over a shotgun. That applied equally as much as anything else there. However, a false narrative got put out that he was out jogging the neighborhood and these racist white guys just tracked him down and gunned him down on Sunday afternoon in this Sotillo Shores neighborhood. Completely and utterly false. The other narrative that may have happened here, if we had a man with mental illness kills two men, maybe three, with a shotgun. I mean, if he'd have won the battle over that shotgun, what was he going to do, just walk away? Of course not. They're all serving life sentences. Travis, life without the possibility of parole. I've worked horrendous crimes over my years. I've worked multi-victim murders when I was in law enforcement and seen some horrific cases. If any death, any violent death is a tragedy. I'm sorry Ahmaud Arbery died, but, you know, he chose to attack a man with a shotgun. But, you know, cases that are far worse than this, far multiple victims, they're people that are out there walking the streets today because they're eligible for parole. This case got treated far differently. Like you said, it came on, it was, this occurred, their arrest occurred about 3 weeks before the George Floyd incident. George Floyd, you're right, a convicted felon, violent felon with a history of drug addiction. The way that got turned around. Ahmaud Arbery now has a holiday in Georgia. He's recognized by proclamation as one of Georgia's most prestigious citizens. The proclamation signer.
Unbelievable. What an outrage.
It is.
It's crazy.
They changed a street name in Brunswick, Georgia, to Ahmaud Arbery Street. They're renaming a park in his name. There's a multi-million-dollar lawsuit ongoing that I look for the county and the state to settle, because let's face it, they're certainly not going to defend it and say and share the dirty laundry here. They will end up paying a lot of money at the end of the day.
That's just
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, John. I'm just shaking my head in disbelief of what's going on. Go ahead, John. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It really is just such an outrageous situation. And one of the things that
there's our first break. We have to go to another break right quick, John. Hold that thought. Please don't lose that thought. If you're like me, I have to take a pencil and jot down where I was. We'll come right back to John, all right, after this break, and Lee Wilson. Be right back, folks.
Pro proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky urged world leaders to act and stop Russian President Vladimir Putin as he warns that Moscow has begun preparation for the possible use of nuclear weapons. This comes as President Joe Biden said that Putin was, quote, not joking when he talks about the use of tactical nuclear weapons, end quote, adding that, quote, we have not faced the prospect of Armageddon since Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis, end quote. Mayor Eric Adams says that the influx in migrants will cost the city $1 billion. This comes as the mayor declared a state of emergency over thousands of asylum seekers who have been bused to the city from the southern border.
Once the asylum seekers from today's buses are provided shelter, we will surpass the highest number of people in recorded history in our city's shelter system.
The city has also enrolled 5,500 recently arrived migrant children in public schools. Almost 100 illegal immigrants have been found in one Texas neighborhood.
Texas authorities say 84 illegal immigrants have been found in the back of a semi-truck near the southern border. Hidalgo County Sheriff Eddie Guerrero says some of the illegals were seen Thursday climbing off the truck in front of a residence in the border town of Weslaco. All suspects have been taken into custody. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The Labor Department is reporting employers added 263,000 jobs last month. The unemployment rate fell to a 50-year low of 3.5% in September. This is USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
Well, dear people, we're not going without further wasting of any time at all. We're going to go right back to Mr. John Friend, in case you're just tuning in. Mr. John Friend, he's a writer for the American Free Press and the very prestigious, that's a prestigious newspaper. I call it America's only really free paper, like he said. We have a few more pretty good ones, but, you know, he also writes for the Barnes Review. And just in case you're just now tuning in, we have Mr. Lee Wilson on. He's the pro bono attorney. He was picked. He was cherry-picked out of all the detectives in the state of Georgia and the surrounding area. The defense team for the McMichaels picked him. And God bless him, bless his heart. He's done this work totally free, a tremendous amount of money out of his own pocket. So anyway, that's who we've got on tonight, just in case you're just tuning in. And anyway, back to you, John.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, one of the things that struck me researching this case and, you know, preparation to write the article was, and this is very typical in all of these high-profile, you know, racially motivated sort of situations. The black criminal involved in these cases are always much worse than you could even imagine, and that was certainly the case with this Ahmaud Arbery character, who was basically presented as this innocent jogger in the media when he was nothing, not at all like that, you know, by any means. And again, that's very typical. You know, we had mentioned like the way the media portrayed George Floyd, who was literally a career criminal, a drug addict, just a disgusting human being, and he's presented as this saint now. And it's the same thing with Arbery. And on the website, McMichaelTrial.com, if you go to the timeline section, it's got a pretty extensive history of Arbery's criminal degenerate activity and behavior and some of the things that he was involved with. And maybe Mr. Wilson can comment on this. I mean, what type of person was Ahmaud Arbery? He certainly wasn't this innocent, benevolent jogger just, you know, innocently running through this neighborhood, was he?
No. In fact, his history starts right after high school, or at least there's strong belief there's a juvenile record, but in Georgia, juvenile records are generally sealed. We are aware that he did have a juvenile record, but the details have not been disclosed. But let's start at 17, 18 years old when he graduated high school. He went to a community college, and there's a video on the website, like you said, on the events page that shows him getting into a gang fight, orchestrating a gang fight, passing other students their weapons, telling them how to use them, tools and things, when the other gang pulls up. Except the problem is he didn't know that one of the other combatants from the other side was going to bring a baseball bat, and Ahmaud gets whacked upside the head with it. Now, was that the first thing that started his mental health downfall? There's rumors abound that he drank something at a party and hadn't been right since. I don't know. But if you look at his history, 6 months later, he's appearing at a high school basketball game with a gun. An officer breaks a leg trying to chase him down during that encounter. The police chief testified at one of the hearings that he was praying not to have to shoot that young man that night. But all of that got squashed. I mean, all of his history leading up to the trial, even the fact we were not even allowed to tell the jury that he was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, with auditory pollution, voices that sometimes told him to rob and hurt people. And there's a medical diagnosis in his file of that. Judge forbid.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt real quick and just, because that to me is just real. I mean, you want to talk about a totally rigged system, a rigged trial. You guys weren't even allowed to introduce any of this evidence into the trial, were you? His criminal background, the mental health problems, his history of violence, his history of robbery and theft in this neighborhood. Was any of that allowed to be discussed or addressed at the trial, in the trial?
No. Not a word of it. In fact, the judge even, because our whole defense pre-trial was based on this mental health. It explained, if you look up schizoaffective disorder, which Ahmaud is diagnosed with, it talks about the behavior characteristics and behavior one. He met everything that Travis described to a T when he was encountering him, non-communicative, angry looking, just would sit there and stare at you. And it also, Ahmaud had this other feature that, and he admitted it, that he wanted to rob and hurt people. Well, that explains why he went left instead of right, as I say, or charged the man with a shotgun. Because the same person doesn't do that. And there's a violent struggle over that shotgun. And I have to believe if he gained control of it, there would have been a different outcome as far as the lives of them. Greg and Travis, and perhaps Roddy.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, as you said, what's he going to do? Steal the gun from him and then what? Put it down and not use it? I mean, he was maliciously attacking him, you know, attempting to take over the firearm to use it against him.
That's correct. And if you actually, if people would actually go and watch that video, and when I say watch it, don't look for the beginning and the end, you've got to frame by frame it. Ahmaud he punches Travis between 7 and 9 times. Some of it occurs off camera, but Travis was punched between 7 and 9 times. Even after Ahmaud was shot, he's still fighting to gain access to that gun. You're trained as a law enforcement officer, and Travis was trained in the military about gun retention. And you don't stop shooting until the threats quit. Ahmaud was a continued threat until that third shot. and only then, it's just bizarre how two people can look at that same video and come to such drastically different conclusions. But I think some group of people have that narrative in their head versus the factual background about Ahmaud.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the media certainly wasn't reporting this in any fair, objective way either, of course. So that is already sort of setting the stage and sort of framing the narrative for how this case was discussed and presented. And then the judge is involved. Now, I'm curious, like, how do they justify keeping this very, very relevant information out of the trial? How is this not allowed to be presented in front of a jury to sort of explain the background, the circumstances, what type of individual this Ahmaud Arbery character was, and then certainly like what led up to this encounter? Because, you know, from what I understand, they had encountered Arbery repeatedly, regularly in this neighborhood, either casing properties or outright engaging in theft and vandalism and things of that nature. So what was the justification for keeping this information out of the trial?
Well, the judge ruled that Ahmaud's criminal history could not be brought in because the McMichaels were not familiar with it the day of this happened. Had they known about it, it was potentially admissible evidence. But when this occurred, they knew nothing about it. The state argued that the mental health was irrelevant because it would confuse the jury on the facts and circumstances. These are all things that are going to be brought up in the appeals, you know, but in retrospect, not only did we get some very bad rulings, in my view, before the pretrial, but our whole case was designed to show self-defense here. But judge made some rulings before the trial and even before we did closing arguments, but after we presented our case, that greatly affected what the jury was allowed to hear, including a probable cause in an end that he was saying Georgia citizens, he had charged the jury that Georgia citizens arrest law, they had to have had probable cause that day, February the 20th of 2020. Well, unfortunately, they had prior knowledge. In fact, Travis encountered Arbery on the English property 9 days before, and it's clearly documented. It's on the 911 call. Ahmaud intimated having a weapon. And if you listen to that 911 call Travis made on that, I believe it was February 11th or 12th, I can't recall which, but he made the 911 call, said, tell your officer, I think he's got a weapon. He's very animated, talking on the phone, his heart rate's up. You can tell he's very nervous because he had been scared by Ahmaud. So that's why the police had not been able to catch Ahmaud, and he'd been in that neighborhood. Everyone was concerned. They had a private Facebook page for the neighborhood. People talking about keep you the house locked, you know, the property. People coming in there, did you see that video of the guy on English's property, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, pilfering? The whole story is just aligned with
And also, if I'm not mistaken, Travis actually had a firearm stolen from his private personal vehicle, correct?
He did on January 1st of the same year. And then in an adjacent neighborhood, there was another video. Somebody was caught on video that looks remarkably like Ahmaud Arbery.
Maybe we have to go to a break. We have to go to our last break, fellas. We'll be right back. Man, I've been enjoying this show. I'll be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
The Epoch Times. times.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Hello, dear Blood River Radio family. I cannot believe how fast this hour is going. I'm just going to chime in 1 second here. I'm looking on the screen. This has everything to do with what we're talking about with the Mac Michaels. I'm looking at this prison record that shows about this Cleothe Henderson. He reminds me of Ahmaud Arbery. I was looking. It's a really good picture of him when he's in jail. It's like looking into the eyes of the devil, cross between the devil and an ape. I mean, the guy, he's just a stone-cold killer. He committed his first crime that they know of, his first rape that he knew of, at 11 years old. In and out of prison all of his life. 20 sex crimes while he's behind bars. But you know what? And I'm going to shut up. I'm going to make this one comment. I ran by last Sunday on my long run. Everybody listen to this show knows I trained for marathons. I ran right by the exact spot that Eliza Fletcher was abducted by this feral animal, and all the flowers, all the memorials are brown and wilted and gone away. The candles are burnt down, and I'll tell you what, this is what's really upsetting. You can call me a guru if you want to, but it was almost like I could feel an aura there. But all over Memphis, I ran 20 and a half miles that day. I didn't see one sign in the yard about something about Eliza Fletcher, you know, justice for Eliza Fletcher. Let justice roll down like rain. Like, you see that on these George Floyd signs all over. Not one bumper sticker, not one billboard, news media has not made one comment about Eliza Fletcher. The social media, it's just like she never existed. And that's what happens when a white person is slaughtered by a black animal. And I'm telling you, I'm going to shut up. I'm taking too much of the show. But anyway, go right back to you, Mr. Lee. I didn't want to get rambling on. This is really an emotional, really emotionally charged show for me, though. But go ahead, Mr. Lee.
Just concluding in that, you know, the environment in which we tried to try that case, you've got armed protesters surrounding the courthouse with bullhorns, and you've got Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, black clergy. I mean, it was a more of a circus than it was a trial. The jurors were inadvertently exposed to watching men kitted up fully as if they were military operatives, Navy SEALs, all wearing black, you know, with bullhorns, hollering, you know, they want justice, they're going to burn the courthouse down if they don't get it. You can hear these remarks being made in the courtroom. And, you know, we had witnesses that were very supportive of our case. By the time they got on the witness stand, They were in such fear of being attacked personally, threats, that they're tuned towards this family and change. And they're good people, but my God, I mean, the threats and intimidation used to assure this outcome is something I've never witnessed in my life. I hope I don't ever witness it again. But I'm afraid that it's more to come. It may not be the McMichaels or identical situation, but there'll be another one just like it. And I don't know what.
Look at the precedent. It says, I mean, look at the precedent that this has set. And I mean, there've been similar cases in the past, but this is probably one of the most outrageous situations I've ever thoroughly, researched and looked into. I mean, the fact that you have these thugs, these like Black Panther. What was it? The new Black Panther Party, I think. They were out there protesting and demanding justice and demanding that these men be thrown behind bars for the rest of their lives, if not executed. Open intimidation of the jury, open intimidation of witnesses. And that's coupled with the media coverage where, the media, the way it was framed and covered from the get-go was totally biased and incorrect. There were so many factors that played into this, which led to this total travesty of justice. From what I understand, they were convicted not only on charges at the state level, but also at the federal level. So there's two different levels here that, they were convicted. What are the prospects? What is the process in general for appealing? I mean, they're going to have to appeal at both the state and the federal level, or can that be streamlined, or how does that work?
Well, you've got two separate appeals there. You're right, and the Georgia appeal will go directly to the Georgia Supreme Court. That's one of the things we're trying to do now is raise money to hire appellate lawyers and get them appealed. Otherwise, the state of Georgia allocates $2,500 for an appeal. This was a six-week trial. The transcript's not even finished, and the trial was a year ago. What kind of appellate lawyer are you going to get appointed at $2,500? You're just not going to get one. But the federal case, and just let me tell you about the weakness of the federal case, they were charged with what's tantamount to hate crime. There was not a single incident or person that testified about Greg McMichael ever using a racial slur. He was convicted by two people. One who's claimed that Greg was taking her back to the airport after coming to testify in a hearing when he worked in the DA's office, and that she read about Julian Bond, a late civil rights leader, passing. And she claims that Greg made the comment that he should have been put in the ground long ago. And the second one was about somebody that rented a house from Greg and his wife, Lee, where Greg said that lady wouldn't pay rent, and he cut off the power and called her a whale or something. But the information was that she was Black. Well, actually, the woman was white that actually was not paying the rent. But that was the total pieces of evidence presented against Greg. Travis had some stuff on his social media page, like videos others had sent him, it's First Amendment stuff, but nothing showing that either one of them had any intent to cause harm to Ahmaud Arbery or African American or anything, yet they were convicted of a hate crime. I'm going to add that to the trial website as soon as I can get it finished. But I want you to read the brief that will be linked to that about the lack of that. I mean, I've never seen somebody convicted on such and given life for such weak evidence. But we now know that there were people trying to get on these jurors. They were lying on their questionnaires. We caught several of them. You didn't hear about any of that, but we had several removed potentially. How many actually got on there? We don't know. We had them driving around the courthouse with a hearse with the McMichael's names written all over the hearse and driving around with it on the back of a flatbed wrecker. Driving around the courthouse. How do you get a fair trial in that environment? How?
You obviously cannot. And I think that this case speaks volumes about the state of justice in America today. It's totally politicized. It is 100% against white people, frankly. I mean, I really, the more I look into this and the more other examples I see, I don't know how anybody could come to any other conclusion that this system is rigged against average white people attempting to simply protect the neighborhood. I mean, you know, and we didn't even get into this, but at the very beginning when this happened, and this was late February of 2020 when this very unfortunate situation happened, it was investigated by local officials, by the local DA, if I'm not mistaken, and they came to the conclusion that not a single law was violated. They totally acted within the law. And, you know, once the media pressure came on and the narrative got twisted, that's when you saw, you know, this prosecution. But, yeah, I mean, from the get-go, it was investigated by professional investigators, by law enforcement, and they came to the realization, the conclusion, that no laws, in fact, were violated. And that's all been thrown out the window. And from what I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the state of Georgia itself has totally changed all of these self-defense laws in the aftermath of this situation.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
This occurred during the middle of the supposed COVID pandemic, whatever your beliefs might be there, but nonetheless. And this case, the prosecutor at the time, Mr. Tom Durden, he was handed the case from Barnhill when Barnhill was accused of some sort of bias because his son allegedly worked with Greg at one time. But yeah, this case was always going to go to the grand jury for them to decide it. There was no cover up. Courts were shut down. But so it would have been heard by a grand jury. It never got that far because when the video got released and along with the patently false narrative, these guys were arrested within a couple of days and have never had an ounce of freedom since, a minute of freedom since then. They've been in isolation since they were arrested in early May 2020. And I want to point out, you know, the discrepancy. The officers accused of in the George Floyd incident, and I can't think of the Minnesota officer. That officer is going to get out.
Yeah.
Chauvin, he will get out in 23 years. They've shown you the difference. He was able to navigate a plea where they combined his federal and state time. Greg and Travis, with hopes of seeing daylight, were willing to plead guilty on the federal charge, even though they didn't believe it. And yet, just to be safe, just to try to keep them safe, because there's a bounty on them. I hope they can survive. I hope they'll keep them safe, but there is a bounty on them. I mean, family wanted. They objected to them pleading to the federal charges so they could be safe in a federal facility, which is safer than a state facility. Yet the family objected at a hearing that I've never heard of a family being having a say-so in where somebody goes to prison. But they did hear. You know, because they made it clear that they want them to get killed in the federal state system, and they know that the chances are much greater. Here, but Chauvin will get out in 23 years, and both these men are going to die in the Georgia State Prison unless we can turn it around.
If Chauvin didn't get killed while he's in prison, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, he's in a safer facility than McNichols are.
Yeah, no, it's you know, I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's just such an outrage. It's so unjust and. Unfortunately, I mean, I don't see the appeals process. I mean, as much as I want to see it appealed and overturned and these men to be set free and the record correct, you know, the actual historical record corrected in this matter. Unfortunately, I just do not see that happening with the way things are going.
John,
I'm curious, Mr. Wilson. Yeah.
Well, I want to point out something. I would agree with you with the exception that the Georgia Supreme Court has recently overturned two cases that were very controversial. One with a hot baby car death and it was the Cobb County DA who prosecuted Greg and Travis. They overturned that murder conviction and also overturned one involving a guy named Tex McIver. Very controversial.
Lee and John. Cases. We are totally out of time. This has been one of the fastest hours I've ever been on. Guys, John and Lee, I would love to get you two back again in the not-too-distant future because I'm especially if there's any other updates in this case. But I want to thank both of you guys from the bottom of my heart for coming on. I know our audience was sitting on the edge of their chairs like I was. So, but once again, John Friend and Lee Wilson, thank you so much for coming on. We're out, completely out of time. People, you've heard it right here, Blood River Radio. We've been carrying this McMichael pace for a long time. We're now transitioning to the second hour. We're going to pick up Paul Fromm and Jason Robb. So go get you some coffee. It's going to be kind of a long break. Thanks again, guys.